Now we continue in our Revelation Bible study. In your detailed outline, we are in point 16I, and we're going to be doing an exposition of God's omniscience. That's 16I in your outline, page 20 in the book. It's also found on firmfoundationri.com. And we just finished reading Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And we want to look at some other parallels, other places in Scripture where God's throne room and some of the details are noted. And the first one is in Ezekiel chapter 1 in verse 10. And Ezekiel has his vision of God's throne room. And he writes, "As for the likeness of their faces, each had a face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle." And he's talking about the four living creatures. And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, we had read the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had the face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. So we have very slight variations here in the actual wording and the terminology. But you got to remember now, these holy men of God, they're inspired by God. They're in the awesome throne room of God in the third heaven. And they're trying to describe in human words what the Almighty God and His abode is like. And these guys are doing the best they can. Of course, God inspired holy men to write down these things in the Scriptures. But these are holy men of God trying to communicate the revelation of the awesomeness of God to you and I. Now, in the book of Isaiah, these four living creatures, angelic beings, are identified as seraphim. So in Isaiah chapter 6, we had read verse 1 the last time, but we'll go ahead, we'll get a running start. We'll read verses 1 through 3. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, and each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So that's what they're saying there. And in the book of Revelation, when John goes to visit, they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." These four living creatures are identified as seraphim, which is basically an order of angelic beings. And we have some more descriptions that these are winged creatures, specifically six-winged creatures. And we've got that in Isaiah 6:2, but also in our text in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. So these are the same creatures, the same four living creatures that Isaiah saw and Ezekiel saw, the Apostle John also saw. Now, notice in verse 8, we read, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, I'd like to point out here that the majority text, and that is the text that the King James and the New King James Bible is based upon, actually has holy nine times. It's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And this emphasizes the degree of God's holiness. And this is an interesting thought for you. Just by way of application, you can take or leave it. But if each holy represents one person of the triune God, each one is repeated three times. Now we have an application passage with regard to God's omniscience, the fact that God is everywhere at all times, that he is always looking in every direction at all times, and this is pictured by the way in which the chariot wheels move and the seraphim conduct themselves. This is a picture of the Lord's omniscience. And our application passage is the 139th Psalm, which is, you know, possibly one of the most detailed passages with regard to the omniscience of God in the Bible. And in it we read, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Okay, moving forward in the narrative in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 9. Revelation 4, 9, we read, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And there are three things that are given to God in heaven: glory, honor, and thanks. And these three things are all part of true worship, and they are inseparable. Giving God glory, honoring, revering his name and his person, and doing it with an attitude of thanksgiving. All prayer is to be characterized by this, by way of application. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying. So here we have these 24 elders, these church-age saints who are before the Lord, and they're worshiping him forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before their rightful owner. So even those things that God has given them as gifts, they give back to them. And that's the principle here. Those gifts that God gives us, he gives us to use them for his glory. This is the purpose of all of the natural and spiritual gifts that God has given you. Now, you may have heard of a Christian band, a contemporary Christian band called Casting Crowns. They sing Glorious Day, which is one of the hymns which we sing here at Firm Foundation Christian Church. And that term, casting crowns, comes from this verse, and that meaning is what is ascribed to it. So, a beautiful testimony to God in the naming of that band, whatever you may think of contemporary Christian music. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So the reason we live and have our being, again, is to bring glory to our Creator. Let us read Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 31. Acts 17, 24 through 31. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art in man's devising. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And this, of course, would be our segue into Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Before we proceed to Revelation chapter 5, we've got a few review questions. And the first question is this: what does in the Spirit mean in the context of John's heavenly visions? I'll give you a moment to answer these, and then I'll set forth the answer. Well, in the Spirit is, amongst other things, a recognition that John the Apostle was being given divine revelation when he wrote about all of these things in the book of Revelation and all of these words. What is the three-point chronological outline of, we're going back a bit, Revelation chapter 1 in verse 19? The three-point chronological outline of Revelation 1:19 is this: the things which you have seen, the vision of Christ, the things which are, the letters to the churches, and the things which will take place after this, those things yet future. Number 3, which two Old Testament prophets saw God's throne room and wrote about it in detail? And the answer is that the two Old Testament prophets who saw God's throne room and wrote about it in detail were Isaiah in chapter 6 and Ezekiel in chapter 1. Question number 4. Who are the 24 elders? The 24 elders are church age believers. These are men, and we know because they have white robes, overcomers' crowns. Elders is only used of men and not of angels. And they claim to be redeemed by God's blood, something that is true of men and not of angels. What are the seven spirits of God, and where do we find them listed in the Bible? The seven spirits of God are the seven spirits which Jesus has, and they are found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Revelation chapter 5, in verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Him who sat on the throne is God the Father. The scroll is sealed with seven seals, such as it could not be read without the breaking of the seals. And we have a reference in the book of Daniel. Some see this as being the same scroll. Daniel chapter 12 in verse 4 reads, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." The sealing of the scroll is something that we find elsewhere in Scripture, and we have a direct relation here in Daniel chapter 12 in verse 4. And both Daniel 12:4 and Revelation 5:1 talk about a sealed scroll in the context of God's progressive prophetic revelation. This isn't a prophecy of airplanes and computers and all these things. This is a prophecy of prophetic revelation that is progressive from Old Testament to the New Testament.